know what the word for repentance in Hebrew is?
Tshuva.
What does tshuva mean? Oh, hey, tshuva. What does tshuva mean? Tshuva doesn't mean to repent. The word doesn't mean that. Every word, every Hebrew word has a source. What's the source of the word tshuva?
A myth.
A myth?
A myth.
A myth?
True. Tshuva.
No?
Lashuv.
Lashuv is to come back. Where are you going back to? You're going to a place before it was. Right? So the whole purpose of the idea of repentance is not guilt and not to feel bad, because all of us know that guilt and feeling bad about our mistakes does not help one iota. Only a clear path that a person's willing to return to a point where whatever precipitated that action, whatever precipitated that relationship, he's able to go back to that point. For mortal people, for us, that's almost impossible. If a man or woman had been betrayed by someone, it's almost impossible to do, to go back to that point like nothing ever happened. But that is something that we are going to do. That is something that we have the ability to do. That is the power of the next 40 days. Now, starting from this Saturday and Sunday is the first day of Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul. This 40-day period that ends on Yom Kippur. Where does this 40-day, what's the significance of this 40-day period? I want to tell you about an incredible, I'm going to give you a story. Heartbreaking story. I'm going to talk about a young man that searched for his beloved. His whole life, he was searching for someone. And he looked everywhere. Finally, he found his greatest beloved. And this man, he was a man of power and a man of means. And he was going to go ahead and he's going to make the most incredible wedding, right, that the world has ever seen. It's going to make the Kardashians blush, right? The whole idea is going to make this incredible, incredible wedding, unbelievable wedding. And the joy of all of the guest list and everybody that's involved is incredible. And everybody that's anybody is at this wedding. And he's going to have this absolutely amazing affair that the world has never seen. And everybody's there and they have this beautiful ceremony. And 3 minutes after the ceremony, they look for the bride. And they find the bride. And the bride strayed with somebody else. Heartbreaking. Crushing thing. This is what happened to the Jewish people. God was looking for a nation to give of himself to. God was seeking out a nation. And then Moses goes up to accept the Torah and to bring it down to the Jewish people. And they stray, they build a golden calf and they serve it. The first, if you look in the Bible, there's only two commandments that we heard directly from God. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the Lord your God, and you shall not have any other God instead of me. That's exactly what they did. Crushing. What happens is on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up the second time. And he, on Yom Kippur, he brings down the second time the Luchos. And God says, I completely forgive you. It's like nothing ever happened. We're going back to our relationship like nothing ever happened. That's something which is not a human element. It's beyond humanity. In order to be able to reach in to the essence of my being, and to manipulate my very desire of who I am, there is nothing in this world that can bring you to that. If you think about most of the things that we do in our lives, we're not even touching our essence. If you think about what you're thinking about, the actions that you do, most of it works. There's a book I read recently. It's called The Power of a Habit by Charles Duhigg. Excellent book. Fantastic book. What's the basic premise of the book? All of our lives are habits that we have formed. You can never change a habit. All you could do is create an override. Right? That's the basic premise of the book. Excellent book. You should read the book. But if you, one of the lessons learned from this book, from Charles Duhigg, is that all the things that we are doing, we're not touching who we are. All the things are habits that we have inculcated. Now, the premise of the book, you are your habits, but it's not true. There's so much more to you than just the habits formed. Now, your interface with the world is habits. The mannerisms that you have, things that you do all the time that you don't realize, whether you're playing with your necklace, right, or the way you hold your hands, or you put your hands over here, these are habits formed. You don't even realize that you're doing them, right? Is that who you are? Of course not. Who you are is far, far deeper, far, far more profound. Far deeper than that. Question is, how do you do that? How do you access that quality? How is somebody able to reach in to the essence of who he is and manipulate, to touch that place? For most of us, we haven't even met that. We have no clue what that is. By the way, what's the statement? Ani ledoidi. I am to my beloved. Number one, who is I? Who is I?
Yourself.
Ask yourself honestly when you point to yourself. Who is, what is that, right? Is it my actions, my deeds? Half the time you think to yourself, how did I just say that? That wasn't me. Right? Person walks into a room, half the time he's doing things only reacting to other people's stimulus. It's not him. He never walked into the room. He was never there.
It's a character.
It's a character. It's a mask that he presents to the world. And you know what? You know the one thing I see all the time. There's somebody called Reb Nachman Breslover. Reb Nachman Breslover has something that all of us should learn. I learned it. I learned it with many people. He has a discourse. It's called Maimer Hayelad. It's a discourse about a child. Children are real. Children don't have masks. They tell you what they think of you, right? What happens? You grow up a little bit, and then you realize, one second. If I'm going to be who I really want to be, it's not going to work out so well for me. So I have to start acting the way people want me to act. What happens to your child? Whoosh! Gets lost somewhere inside there. You forgot about him. He's gone. Who's walking around? Who's walking, talking, doing? Who is that? I don't know who it is. But it's us sitting here at this table. So we talk about Chodesh Elul. We talk about the month of Elul. What an incredible opportunity. Number one, you could meet the Ani. You could meet the I. Yeah, there's a very famous statement. One of the Hasidic Rebbes, the Kotzker Rebbe, he said the following thing, right? He says, if I am I, and you are you, then you are you, and I am I, right? But if I am you, and you are me, then you are not you, and I am not I. We're no one. You understand? So the first thing that I'm going to talk about today is how do you access I? The Ani. Where is it? How are you going to get to it? How are you going to discover that? That's the first thing. Then we'll talk about Ledoidi. What does it mean, my beloved? How do you get to my beloved? Okay. I'll tell you a crazy story. The funny thing is, you know, you talk about, I don't know how many people have ever learned the Talmud here, Gemara, a little bit. Gemara? Anybody's ever learned Gemara over here?
No.
You learn? Okay. Gemara is fascinating subject. There's a lot of very strange things in the Gemara. The Gemara is not like a regular book. There's no other text like it in the world for a very simple reason. Anytime you open up a book, you open up any text, what is it trying to do?
Teach you something.
Trying to teach you what?
What?
99.9% of the time, books are trying to give you information.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
The Talmud is not interested in information. What it's interested in is a process. The Talmud gives you a system of thought of how to think about something. Now, the funny thing about the Talmud is that you could be talking about something, for instance, like lost objects. Yeah? If I find this phone, do I have to return it or don't have to return it? Now, there's a commandment in the Torah, you have to return lost objects. The first thing you teach children when they start learning Talmud, that's the first thing you teach them. You know why you teach them that? First lesson a child needs to know, not everything is yours. First lesson he needs to know in life. Right? It also goes for investment bankers. But ultimately, right, the idea is the first thing, the first lesson you teach a child. Right? The second thing is that the whole part of the Gemara, the Talmud, is it's what it's trying to teach you is how do you deal with things that happen randomly, things that are lost objects and so on and so forth. But another thing that happens in the Talmud is the Talmud tells stories. And these stories are not there as narratives. They're not historical stories. They are there with really, really deep, very profound, and many of them are mystical in nature. They're Kabbalistic in nature. A lot of the stories. Now, the interesting thing is that in the middle of something which is talking about very dry law, it will tell a story. So I'm going to tell you a story. You'd be surprised that the story is actually in the Talmud. But the Talmud is not R-rated. The Talmud is worse than that. There are very peculiar stories in the Gemara. And the reason why, because the Gemara is truth. It's not politically correct, yeah? This is the story. The man is called Rabbi Eliezer ben Dudaya. That's his name. And he had a very interesting project in life. He had one set goal. He was seeking to conquer all the women in the world. That was his singular goal. And he did this. He traveled all the continents and the seven seas, and he was seeking out this purpose. He heard about a certain person in a very far off land, and it said that he traveled oceans and he crossed rivers till he met this person. And then she told him one statement. She told him something, I'm not going to go into detail, it's not so appropriate, but she told him something that was striking, and at that moment, he had a moment of truth. Reb Eliezer ben Dudaya, so let me explain to you who this was. Person dedicated for one thing in life. Complete moral bankruptcy. Complete immersion in physicality to the nth degree. That was his entire purpose. And if you met him, you say, hello, what's your name? Reb Eliezer ben Dudaya, I don't know if you want to shake his hand, but the idea is, what's your name? What's your purpose in life? One purpose. I'm going around the world in order to conquer. Conquest. That's my whole purpose in life. At that point in life, in his existence, he goes ahead and he says to himself, my life is over. And he decides, I'm going to change who I am. I'm going to change my entire purpose in life. So what does he do? He goes to the mountains and he says, pray for me. Pray for me. I have no merit. My whole life has been a sham. My whole life has been a mistake. Will you please pray for me? Will you please do something for me? And they say, we cannot help you. Then he goes to the oceans and they say, will you pray for me? Will you help me? He says, we cannot help you. He goes to the stars. He asks every person in the world, will you help me? And they say, we cannot help you. And he says the following statement. He says, Ein hadavar talui elabi. It all depends on me. And he holds his head in his hands, and he cries, and he says, I want to return, and he dies on the spot. His soul escapes his body. The greatest man in the generation, his name was Rebbe. Rebbe begins to cry. And he says, this person is Rabbi Eliezer ben Dudaya. He is my mentor. He is my Rebbe. He has shown the whole world what it means to do tshuva. That's the story. It says in the Babylonian Talmud, in Masechta Avodah Zarah. What does the story teach us?
can change yourself.
Only you can change yourself. And that's number one. Number two, a person has to find and seek out that moment. You know what brought him to what that moment in his life? Because he realized who he was. He realized what he's doing. In order to know my ani, you have to take a few moments with yourself every single day and ask yourself this question. And it's a painful question. I don't know about you, but many people are afraid to be alone in a room. Have you ever tried? Have you ever tried to be alone in a room with yourself, talking to yourself? You ever tried that? Yeah, I do it every day. I do it every day, I confess. But in LA, it's not such a big deal, you know? I see people talking to themselves all the time. I don't talk to myself. There's something called this bodhidus, which is a form of meditation, and you talk to Hashem. You talk like I'm talking to you. You talk, you say what's on your mind, and you say, and you speak freely. You say exactly how you feel about things. But ultimately, anila doidi v'doidi li, this idea is the following thing. How do I find my eye? To find the eye is first the way, peel away all those things that aren't really you. And that's number one, you have to be honest. You have to be truly honest with yourself. And then it takes a lot of meditation. In what meditation? A lot of the things that I'm doing is because of my society around me, my parents, the way I've been raised, and so on and so forth. So you have to find within all of that information who you really are. That's number one. That's what Reb Lezer Ber Dordaya. Ben, this woman told him, one moment, this is who you are. When he realized that, when he tried to return, what happened to when he tried to return? There was nothing left of him. So that's why he died. Because the only thing that was left of him wasn't in this world anymore. You understand? Mm-hmm. When he went back, right? You and me, so we have something inside of us, right? Reb Lezer Ben Dordaya, his whole life was so focused on something outside of himself that he himself was gone. It eats away at you, little by little, till there's nothing left of you. But there's always something left of you because a person has a soul, but the soul is not fully here. When he returned, the only place left to go was to leave this world. You understand?
So you're saying he let go completely.
He let go completely. Right. So when he went back, that's where he went to. Mm-hmm. That's why he passed away. Okay? Okay. So now, to review a little bit and to say something practical. We're starting now 40 days. By the way, the number 40 is very significant because 40 days is the amount of time that it takes for conception of all things, physical conception, ideas, concepts. The number 40 is a very common number in Judaism. In order to come to purity, you need to have the number 40. The letter Mem, the name for mother in Hebrew is? Ima, right? If you look in most languages, there's always a mem in mother. Ima, mama, in all languages almost, yeah? In Zulu, mafuta, always there's a mem, yeah, from South Africa. So yeah, there's always a mem. The letter m, the m sound, has to do with bringing something into being. Right? So the idea of 40 is the idea of bringing something into being. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, yeah? Rosh Hashanah, by the way, is what's significant about it? What's significant about the day of Rosh Hashanah? What's happened on Rosh Hashanah that makes it a high holiday? What?
The world was created.
Most people say the world was created. So that's the world was created on the 25th day of Elul. Man was created on Rosh Hashanah. The whole idea of Rosh Hashanah is that every single year just like when the world was brought into being, the same thing happens again. The same light descends into this world. The Balatanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, says that the light is always greater. Every year there's a greater light, a more intense light that descends into this world on Rosh Hashanah. Man, when I say the word man, I don't mean man as in male. Adam Marishan was not male or female. It's not, it was both. So the idea is that when you talk about man, Adam Marishan, primordial man, is that the next 40 days, starting from this Shabbos, you have an opportunity, and the time itself is an auspicious time. You have special and very unique assistance from above to be able to accomplish this. And I want to tell you that accomplishment doesn't mean necessarily something which is extreme. Accomplishment is a simple matter. All accomplishment, to accomplish a change in a person, is a simple turn in life. You know, in Hebrew, the word for chait, what's a chait? Somebody know what a chait is? Sin. The word chait is a?
Sin, right?
But you know what the word chait really means? Lahti. Lahti means to miss. The word sin is not a Jewish word. It doesn't exist. There's no word for sin. You could call something an avera. Avera means a transgression. But the word chait is translated as sin, but doesn't mean sin. What it means is lahti. It's to miss the point. We have been given a path. God has created us for one reason: to give us the greatest good in this world. The greatest success, the greatest beauty, the greatest accomplishment. Every time we fail at that, we are veering ourselves away from a path that is the greatest gift that we have been given, which is our lives. In the next 40 days, you have an opportunity to recreate yourself. Number one, ani. Find out, who are you really? Mm-hmm. Then, ledoidi. What does God mean? Who is my beloved? You have to understand, you know, I love my children. The ability for me to love comes from God. The ability for me to love, and I want to tell you something, I just spoke with a boy today, a boy, he cuts himself, all right? Why would somebody do that to himself? You know why? He does not feel that he is deserving of love. You understand what I'm saying? He does not feel that he deserves to be loved. You know why? Because he doesn't know who he is. You cannot feel love, you cannot love others if you don't exist, if there's no ani. So number one, ani. The second thing is ledoidi. Person has to come to an understanding that all of love, all of success, all of ability is something that you are gifted by the most supreme, the most highest source of this world. So the first part, the first 20 days, elul, ani ledoidi, is ani ledoidi. These two things are the first 20 days. Ani ledoidi, the second 20 days is ledoidi li. I don't know where you're going to be this Rosh Hashanah, but Rosh Hashanah, you blow a shofar, there's a tkiya shofar. It's a coronation of the king. The whole world is reset. The whole, when I'm standing there on Rosh Hashanah, the whole purpose of my being is to become a part of this coronation, of this renewal. It's a very hard thing to do if I'm standing there and I don't know who I am. Yeah? So, to end, Mitzvah Hashem, is that a person should take the opportunity every day to spend time with themselves, by themselves, and speak to themselves, and find out, who am I really? And once a person finds out who he is really, then he can begin the next step, ledoidi. Who is my creator? What is this really about? Thank you very much.
Thanks.